It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody, and happy Tuesday to you here from the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. We're here for a fun episode where we get together with Jared Mueller, and we're going to talk to him about his thoughts on the draft class as I try to accumulate opinions for you guys on these players and how the Browns went about, you know, acquiring these guys and the decisions they made in the draft. That's going to be a huge theme, as you could imagine, for the next few weeks. So we'll get with varied guests. We'll still spend some time with Andrew Spade. He's doing a little bit of traveling, so couldn't work it out today, but I think there's a good chance to catch up with some others. Like I said, we'll catch up with Jared in a minute. Other things around the NFL, and especially around the Browns, there is one piece of news that came out today, which is that they signed an international pathway program opportunity here. His name is Roy Mbatika. So he is a pretty relatively large Nigerian-born offensive tackle, pretty raw to the game. He is did not obviously play much growing up, and I don't think he played into his high school years, so the game is new to him. He's come over. He's been around the NFL as a part of the pathway program for a little while now. I think he's been in 3 years, three different stops. So he was with the Giants in 22, the Bears last year, and a practice squad member. And it's just a reminder of how this works. As a part of the pathway program, you do not count against the 90-man offseason roster limit. So his acquisition to Cleveland and in, you know, his fit in the program means that he is obviously a part of the keeping beyond the 90, which is a meaningful thing to the Browns. He's a huge human, 6'8", 330, but he is extremely raw, but will serve as a nice body to have around, size factor for the practice squad. And again, not counting is an important thing. So again, he spent time in 22 with the Giants, where he had some preseason work with the Bears last year as their international pathway program, opportunity player there. So the Nigerian connection is also something that's interesting that we have probably under-discussed on this show, but deserves a little bit more attention. The Browns have gone deeper into, you know, the international marketing area here in the Nigerian sector. They were given the opportunity to have exclusive global markets program opportunities in Nigeria. So the Browns are doing all they can. And if you did not know, they had the opportunity to have the first ever pick announced from Nigeria. So they are really trying to gain a presence in Nigeria and the surrounding areas. And ironically, and I don't think this is on purpose, but ironically, having Roy come over to the Cleveland organization is just a bigger connection to the Nigerian, you know, connection that the Browns are quite clearly building and really trying to become a bigger presence in the area in general, right? So you have Ghana with JOK. He continues, as his father was born there, continues to have a connection. You saw what he was wearing, connected to his roots throughout the season. Really cool thing. The Browns' presence is trying to be grown in an area where unbelievable athletes are coming out of the you know, again, the region of the world that are just not given the opportunity to play these sports. And I think the Browns are finding themselves on the forefront of trying to develop first fan presence and then trying to see about reaping the benefits of potentially doing scouting over there and some various other things to try to unearth some talent. So, you know, other teams across the league are given opportunity in different markets, the, you know, South American markets, things like that. So the Browns are carving their path. And again, if the NFL continues to expand the way we think the NFL is going to continue to expand, they want to someday hit all of these markets. And if there's a team sent over there in the next decade, I would imagine the Browns will be at the very front of that opportunity to do so. Just a little piece of connection to pay attention to. And again, the signing today had a connection to that, ironically, perhaps. But nonetheless, maybe some things aren't ironic, right? You never know. So on the website, before we get over to our interview, I do want to remind you we have some pretty good stuff going on with the UDFAs. Those will continue to be present in the coming week or so, and we'll do a deep dive on those guys on this podcast eventually. And then Also, just want to remind you guys, too, that you'll find the film room stuff is going to be up on Mike Hall tomorrow at some point. So if you're interested in checking that out, a little bit of a deep dive on Mike Hall, you can find that. And then we have a bunch of profiles going up on the website about these draft picks and good discussion. I will share a podcast later as well that we did on the OBR's YouTube and Twitch with Ian Valentino, where we did a Q&A on the draft class. So that was a really fun exercise as well. A lot of good participation in that one. So again, keep your eye out for that. Share it later today. Again, reminder, Jared Mueller coming up, Dogs by Nature, does a great job over there. Jared used to be with us at the OBR did his own thing there at Dogs by Nature, and he continues to do well. And I always value Jared's opinion and insight. So we're going to get over to some time with him talking through the draft class. I think it's a pretty good 20 minutes or so. And then keep your eyes out later, guys. We'll have that second podcast replaying the YouTube and Twitch stuff if you missed the Q&A session. So quick word from our sponsors, and then we will get right over to our interview with Jared after the break. The OBR is proudly sponsored by Game Time Ticket App. When you're buying those tickets and it's the last minute, you don't have to be stressed out. You can go to gametime.co or use the Game Time app to make those last minute ticket decisions in the best possible way, with a fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. The app does a fantastic job of finding opportunities near you for events, both, like I said, sports and otherwise. We have a comedy show that we found recently with the best price that we could possibly find using Game Time. Great seats. You can scout out the seats, have a great experience, and get the image of those seats all within the app or online, whatever you would like to do. So Game Time is the fast and easy place for those last-minute ticket deals. So take advantage, snag your tickets with Game Time, and avoid the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the promo code OBR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create that account, use the promo code OBR, get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a lowly podcaster like me, the world is starting to understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The NFL has been placing a larger emphasis in this area, especially that mental well-being. The Browns are leading the charge in this as well, trying to get their players to the right physical and mental peak every day. And that's what Unified Healing System is trying to do, and they're a proud sponsor of the OBR Film Breakdown. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in Cleveland or Columbus like me, or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/OBR. Again, that's unified with a YD, unifiedhealing.com/OBR, to learn more and find a center near you. A reminder, no material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. All right, Jared Mueller's in the house joining us. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I am good, man. Enjoying this beautiful weather we're starting to have. Really got to get our body used to it. We got to heat acclimate up in here.
I feel it, man. I was walking today, got the tight lower back because I haven't been out moving the way I need to move. The heat is real. We'll see if that can go away. That'd be nice. Back pain, not fun. Not fun at all.
I'll give some non-professional advice. There's something called sit and decompress. It hangs from your pull-up bar, from your door frame. Wrap it on. It pulls at your back. I do it twice a day now, and it's really made a difference in my scoliosis. So,
see, listen, you show up for the Browns, and you get, you know, the expert back attention you need from this podcast. That's why people pay no bucks to listen to it. So, listen, buddy, let's talk draft. I think that the folks have heard my opinion on it enough, and they've heard from Andrew on it, and I want to get your thoughts on some of the bigger topics, the not trading, the first pick of my call. Like, to talk us through some of your initial thoughts kind of covering it over there at Dogs by Nature, and then just sort of how they did collectively.
You know, I think in general, like, we have to be surprised that Andrew Berry didn't make any trades. Like, that guy likes to be active. Like, I feel like he's got a little bit of my ADD to him. Like, doing something is really, like, he likes to do something. He's those kind of things. So it was a little bit surprising. And then when you look at this class, overall, everyone would say it's a very strong wide receiver and offensive tackle class. And they got neither of those until they got the wide receiver. They've got, you know, Thrash down there in the fifth round. So I think it was just interesting to see kind of going against some trends a little bit. And I don't know if, you know, maybe there was some market inefficiency where a lot of wide receivers, a lot of offensive tackles went off the board. So then you go there with Hall and Zinter instead of, you know, a wide receiver and an offensive tackle. I feel like a couple of the guys they wanted up high were kind of gone. But overall, one of the things, Andrew Berry had a thing on Browns.com with Nathan Zagura, and he talked about looking a little bit more at specific skill sets versus overall talent. And I think when you look at, specifically when you look at Hall, you do see someone who, as a pass rusher, you've got highlight after highlight of his swim move that rarely is getting beat. He is something special and can be really unique. And so I think overall, as you look at the class, you kind of see there's a little bit of upside there and there's a little bit of specificity there that maybe we're not used to from a draft perspective, because normally you're looking at more higher ceiling kind of players who can become stars or want to become stars. And I think you just see people who can do very specific things. You know, Zinter is going to replace Betoni or Teller, one of the two, probably as early as next year. So overall, surprising. But as you kind of break it down, you can start to see the logical process.
Most of which you said there has kind of been echoed over the last few days here on this pod. I would say that it feels like they're sort of graded among the worst. I hate grades. Let me take that back. I don't hate them, because I think it is a interesting way to go about looking at how a class goes versus the prospects you like, the prospects they selected. Pretty universally, the Browns are near the bottom. Do you get the vibe that that makes sense based on some of the stuff here? Or do you think that's, let me put it delicately, a carryover of still not having a first round pick and still dealing with, you know, Adam Schefter couldn't help himself during the draft to fire out the Deshaun Watson trade completion stuff. It's still out there. So I do wonder if the class here is as bad. It's not to say bad, just as disappointing as some people are trying to pin it. Or if you think there's just like that, again, the carryover effect and not having as much capital, right? I think they were 32nd in draft capital for this one as opposed to next year, where they'll be at least near the top because of all the extra comp picks late and some of the other movements that they've made. But I find that, you know, most of those people, Jared, will say, you know, this is just on the selection. But I feel, again, the teams that tend to do the best on this sort of exercise is the teams that have a lot of picks, because you get a lot of choices to get guys that people think are good value.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're exactly right. Like, if you've got 8 picks, or if you're the Eagles and you add a third, a fourth, and a fifth next year, like, those are things that are going to get you good grades. But overall, the Browns had 2 players in the top 100. So if you're just grading, you think that's apples to apples. Well, of course they're going to grade low. They have 6 players and 4 of them were on day 3. So you're going to grade that low because those people, those players are not going to be in your top 50, 60, 70, 80. You're going to have maybe 2 of those guys, and Zinter is going to kind of fall down on your rankings. He doesn't have a lot of pizzazz. He doesn't have a lot of upside. He's a little bit older. He's got his injury, like all of those kind of things. So I think overall, I was, just to be honest, going into the draft before Hall was selected, I was surprised that he was so lowly rated. People are talking about him in the 3rd round only because he is such a good pass rusher, like an interior defensive lineman who can rush the passer, kind of the opposite of Tavondre Sweat, right? Sweat's a nose tackle, basically. Like, he's getting drafted in the 2nd round. No one, I don't think he should have been drafted there, but he can't do the more important thing that Hall could do. Yes, a little undersized, all of that, but Hall was somebody I thought should have been a 2nd round pick and was, but just didn't really get, he wasn't highly rated for a variety of reasons. So I think it really is just number of picks. In the end, the Browns are going to continue to kind of have a negative hue about them. You know, we've seen it start to wear off. The positive side of that wore off in New England. You know, after a couple years of losing, it was assumed that the Patriots drafted somebody. Why didn't somebody else draft them? Like, that was a great deal for them. Why didn't the Browns do that? Why didn't this team do that? Bill Belichick's going to make this guy. Well, that stuff's worn off. I think if the Browns have a winning season that I expect and win a playoff game and are competitive against the Chiefs or one of those teams, I think we see that turnaround going into next year's draft.
Right on. Okay, so looking at the group, who do you is there anyone that you loved, anyone that you expected? It feels like one of the first times outside of Hall that there was just a lack of connection to pre-draft buzz or trends, and then the guys they selected. So you, maybe like me, were looking in to these guys a bit more after the selection, and that's where you find out a little bit more about everybody, how much Steve Smith likes Jamari Thrash, how, you know, Juwan Briggs is a singer by nature, like spent his first year at Virginia as a part of the choir and has done some really impressive things there, and just kind of how interesting he is as a person. Obviously, Miles Harden's a bit harder to dig up information on because of the location by which he played, but curious as you learn more about these guys, anything that's caught your eye and maybe a guy that you find yourself liking a ton from this class that you didn't think about before.
I was surprised how much I like Nathaniel Watson. Like, he just looks like an athlete on the field, and he wasn't really someone I spent a lot of any time really pre-draft on. But I was surprised just how I liked how he played, arm length, some of those kind of things as he was going. Briggs is really interesting. Watching more and more of some of his postseason snaps and just seeing how heavy-handed he is and how he can really displace those interior blockers. Again, it does him and Hall bring up a question about the defensive tackle room. I have no freaking clue what they're going to do in there. You know, is Siaki Ika actually at risk? Because everybody else has guaranteed money, basically. So that's really interesting. And then with Steve Smith, I think the funny thing is I love that he's really excited about him, and he hates Jerry Jeudy. Like, it's a really unique, like, all right, we got his one guy, and we got his enemy over here. Like, but, you know, Steve Smith is someone who plays the game. I'll be honest, and this is going to come off a little bit arrogant, but I really think great NFL players tend to be terrible analysts. Like, I just generally don't think they really, not that they don't understand tape, obviously they're amazing football players. They're just really focused on some focus really on what they do well and miss what they do bad, or they go in the opposite direction. So I don't always love getting the Steve Smith, the Tom Brady's, like, their analysis seems to be skewed more often than not.
I think that's fair that some of the bigger names that the game came easiest to, or they mastered the craft, or one of the few things that you just don't see a crossover in with those guys. And I'm trying to think while you're saying that, I'm trying to think of how many, you know, Hall of Famers or extremely talented people are the ones in media putting together the most comprehensive thought analysis. It's really, the list is probably pretty short. Olsen's pretty good at it. Like, you're not, the list isn't long. I think that that's the safest thing to say. And you're right. You do learn some of these things about, again, go back to Briggs. He's a 39 reps on the bench guy, like bananas. Or you talk about Bookie Watson there, who you mentioned at the start, how close he was to winning SEC Defensive Player of the Year, right? Like, right there with Dallas Turner. Things you don't even think of are a guy who dominates the SEC the way he does with 10 sacks from a linebacker position, and then being like, I haven't even heard of him. Like, and that's similar. The Browns, I mean, I'm getting candid on this thing, because the more I get into the process of covering this and not doing the draft full time versus trying to cover your team full time, there are just players that will go under the radar. When they selected Martin Emerson, I was a little bit of like, where does he play again? I've heard the name. You know what I mean? Like, some people liked him and were very out in front of that, but you have to pretty much be doing just the draft to pin down some of these guys. So that was another one. Is there, you know, I guess let me ask this one, because it's the spot people keep going to. Are you in on Zinter, the timing of the pick, you know, all of the surrounding wide receivers that went immediately after him? I feel like that's a point of contention in this draft. And most of the folks you read doing the post write-ups are talking about, for some reason, like, a broken leg is supposed to get you a discount because the Voorhees kid, it happened to him at the draft the year before. I'm kind of trying to find that correlation where I've noticed that people are like, you should get this discount because Zinter broke his leg in November. And it's like, I mean, that guy's pretty clearly on track to start the season. And again, it's such a small thing compared to a guy at the combine in March.
Tore it up.
Tearing an ACL. I'm not saying it's apples to apples on some of the folks' comparison there, but I keep seeing this sticker discount for this situation because he broke his leg in a November football game. And I'm like, Okay, that's interesting. You either really like him or you don't like him. And I find that the idea that there's a draft value sticker on discount is a little interesting.
Yeah, I think it's, I think Zinter, just to be honest, I think part of the, I wonder, this is going to sound very strange, I wonder how much Andrew Berry's failure at drafting a wide receiver in the third round played a little bit of role in that. Like, is he self-scouting going, man, these guys at this lower level, like, I've really struggled to kind of hit on. And we know Betonio and Teller, like, there's going to have to be some decisions there. So for me, it's, you know, it's always about trying to figure out the thought process and all of that. And so, you know, I love Troy Franklin. You know, he dropped down there into the fourth round and all that. But in the end, I think Zinter makes sense from a meat and potatoes perspective. I think we also have to look at, you know, some of the positions. Basically, offensive line are all expensive now in general across the league. Defensive tackle is exploding, wide receiver exploding. So I think he did use his first three picks on positions that would be expensive. And so I think there's some just intelligence there from a long-term kind of cap perspective to say, all right, let's get these positions that cost money, see if we can hit and kind of go from there.
The question coming out of the draft, I think, is the things they didn't do, which is draft a running back, draft a tackle, even though the tackle stuff, I think they've done a decent job in the UDFA market there. And obviously it's not a position that they're feeling an overwhelming need this upcoming season because of the three bodies they have, but that's certainly another one. And then the tight end, sort of Jaheim Bell sitting there for a while. Could you get him? There's several spots, right? So are you concerned about any of those? I've seen some reactions post draft that say, hey, we need to go get another tight end. Here's the free agent list. And is there anything they can do there? Are you finding yourself thinking they need to improve either of those three positions going into the offseason's heart of the offseason?
I don't. I mean, I think the reality is you're probably going with Njoku, Akins, and then Giovanni is going to be your tight end fullback combination. I think one of the things with the changes in the kickoff rule, you're going to see different positions valued differently. And I think we're going to see a lot more 11 personnel. So I think you're not going to see as many tight ends on the field and you're just not going to need them, but you're probably going to need an extra offensive lineman given kind of what we think we're going to see there. You might want somebody like that. So no, not overall. I mean, honestly, the one that surprised me the most is tackle, only because I thought there might be a developmental guy here or there. But I think they just have to answer that left tackle question. They either answer that with a Jed Wills extension in the middle of the season because he shows out, or really, you know, is it possible they switch DeJuan Jones this year? I think if you go 2 years with DeJuan at right tackle, you don't move him to left tackle in year three. I could be wrong about that, but I think if you're going to move him, you probably just need to move him now and figure the rest out later. So I think that's really just a surprise, but in the end, they have a first round pick next year, right? And they have the ability to move some people around and kind of figure it out as they go. So overall, nothing really stood out to me as if they really failed something, because the reality is I'm not confident. Are four of these guys making the roster? Are they hoping for some injuries and some of those kind of things? I don't see the spots available.
The defensive tackle stuff is going to get tight for Briggs. The secondary, although I think most people really like the Harden selection, it's going to be a challenge. He's going to have to really prove right away that he can carve out a role. I think Zinter's fine. We think Hall is fine. Thrash is probably fine, but that has ramifications on somebody else. And then linebacker, it's you liked Mahmoud Diabate and you really still like Tony Fields. So who are you, you know, you keep in five, maybe up in that to six. Is Charlie Thomas a guy you're considering? It starts to get pretty interesting there. I mean, the picks they're making, and I think we would, if we're doing this before the draft, I think most folks were of the belief that they weren't going to make three picks in the seventh round or into the sixth, seventh round, but that ultimately becomes what they do. I'm fascinated to see how many of these guys they keep or move on from, and especially the two defensive tackles, which could have some minor impact on whatever Siaki Ika turns into in his second year. He better, you know, better come ready to play right away. It's going to be just a full-on ridiculous competition of talent in that defensive tackle room. Okay, we'll close with this, Jared. Again, looking at what they had, you know, that they didn't trade. What's your letter grade, man? That's the most important thing. Give him a grade.
You know, overall, I would say, just if we're comparing it not based on the resources they had, they probably got a C, right? Like, I think C is an appropriate grade. If we look at their resources they had, I'd probably give them a B. They didn't do anything real exciting. But again, most of the time when I'm excited about a draft, it tends to be because they have these upside players with low ceiling or low floors. I think this year they went with a little bit of higher floor with some upside. And so that's a B kind of draft that can, this is not a draft that's going to give you the top 10, 15 players in your, on your roster. This is a draft that hopefully is going to give you a couple starters and a backup or two that can contribute. That's a solid B. It'd be nice to have one of those kind of elite or a high level top 15 player in your roster. Probably not happening when you don't have a first round pick.
Yeah. A lot of C's coming out on this class where it's like, I think I like some of their guys, but ultimately I don't know. That's what the C tells me. Maybe. How many starters do you think are coming out of this group long-term? Let me ask you this. I'll phrase it this way. If you had to predict second contract guys with the Browns from this class, give me your number. Tough question. I know you didn't come prepared.
Yeah, I mean, I would, if I was putting money on it, I'm putting one. I'm saying Hall. I just think, you know, but they valued those guards. They've spent a lot of money on them, even after, you know, coming in. So I would say, I mean, you're safe at over under taking the 1.5, taking the over. I would be surprised otherwise. I mean, hit rates are just so low in the NFL. So if they get Hall and one other guy, that's probably a pretty decent draft based on, you know, the last 30 years of not just the Browns, but the NFL as a whole.
Yeah, I think two long-term pieces or two starters to get to a second contract would be a home run. And I think you can create a path for Zenter. You can create a path for Hall. Then it's like, we'll give you the 2.5 line and say, all right, either of these, whatever, four guys you picked late, day three, can one of them, can Miles Harden become something, right? Can he become a piece of your secondary? Because again, you know, you technically have to say that somebody like Taki Taki, although the injury helped, did get to a second Browns contract. So can you
get, I was just about to use him. I'm like,
right.
Does Watson get the Taki Taki, Anthony Walker, Jordan Kunizic, all of those dudes got a couple 1-year deals. So
Right on. Good stuff, Jared. We appreciate your insight on the draft, man. I'd love to get as many opinions as we can, and yours is definitely valued, buddy. So again, thanks.
I appreciate it, Jake. Always good to talk, brother.
All right, everybody, that's a wrap. Thanks for hanging out today, coming by on this Tuesday. Have a fantastic day. And like I said earlier, check back later. You'll have another podcast if you want more draft insights and conversations. I think Ian Valentino does a fantastic job covering the draft. And anytime we get to spend an hour with him on the show talking through not only the Browns draft decisions and some of the thought processes around it, but we're looking ahead at the roster and some of the ramifications of the choices they have made. So I think it's a pretty insightful show. Check that out. It'll be available again a little later today on your podcast feed of choice. So a reminder, rate and review the podcast if you can. Always greatly appreciate that, guys. Have a great Tuesday. Be well. Go Browns.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.